Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to the East Canton Church of God. We're so glad that you're here. We have an exciting, filled Sunday, and we have Attaboy here with us, which we're excited for. Yeah. So we welcome them, as well as there are welcome cards in your pew pockets. If you are new, if you're visiting, we would love to have your information so we could connect and touch base with you. For all of us, we can connect through those cards. If you have a request, a prayer request, or if you have a praise, or just something you want to share, we would love to hear from you. Another thing on those welcome cards is if you are interested in baptism. So when we profess that we are following Jesus, the next step is that we're baptized. That is an important step in a Christ follower's life. And so if that is you, if you have questions on that, if you are interested in that, if you haven't been baptized yet, then just note that on the welcome card with your name and your phone number, and we will be sure to reach out to you. Or you can stop in the church office as well. So on our way out today, we'll have the opportunity to continue our worship through our tithes and our offerings. So just a reminder, and both the welcome card and the tithes are available online as well. All right, for a few announcements. For the youth, we have youth on Wednesday, 6:30 to 8. So memorize that verse. We've been working on Romans chapter 12, 9 to 13. So come with that memorized, and we're going to have some fun. Also, the OSYC sign-up, so the sign-up for the Ohio State Youth Convention, as well as Fall Rally, both those sign-ups are simultaneously going, and so those are outside the middle school youth room, so make sure you don't miss out. Make sure you sign up. All right, in your worship folder, if you flip it open, if you can flip it open, on the top of your right page, there's an announcement there of the church kickoff picnic. The details are there. Please carve that out in your calendar. That is a great time for us to come together and to have a picnic on the lake as a church. That's September 3rd. Also, on your way out today, in the Welcome Center is a place where you can share your birthday and your anniversary, those important dates that we like to celebrate together. So make sure we have the right one, that it's updated, and if we don't have it, make sure we get it. Just another way we can live as Christ followers together. All right, if you will join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you give us another sunny Sunday to come and worship you, to grow closer to you, to know who you are. So I just pray that you will soften our hearts, just tweak our ears so that we can hear, help us to close out the distractions and truly focus on you. And we just pray that your Holy Spirit will move through us in our congregation, bind us together, bring us together as a church body. And we just give you all of the glory in that. We pray a special blessing on Attaboy this morning and the word that you have brought through them. And we just pray that everything that happens here and in our steps this week will glorify you. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you'll stand and greet each other.
Good morning. Hey, it is good to be back with y'all. And in case you don't know who we are, we're Attaboy. We're from Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's been a few years since we've been here, so if you're new here, we might be random strange faces, but we're no stranger to some of y'all that are here. Some of y'all we saw at the winter retreat just a few months ago. We were here a couple years. Man, I love being able to get into new churches, new settings for us, and also for us come back to churches that we have been to before. As we get an opportunity to go near and far and encounter God's church in all kinds of different locations all over, and it is wonderful to be able to be part of that. So we are grateful that you welcomed us into your service again, but all of that is less important than why we're here. And the reason that we're here is because we serve a God who is so big, so good, that he is worthy of people gathering in his name and celebrating who he is and what he's done and making noise about that. So let's do that right now as we sing together. Come on.
Oh, touch the world. Because he lives.
calm assurance. This child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know. You may be seated. Isn't it wonderful, the truth that was just sung to us? Because, amen, amen, give God the praise. Because he lives, we have a reason to live. We can face tomorrow. And it's a wonderful thing to know that. And only those who are born again cannot fully understand the depth of that. So if you're here today and you don't quite understand that and you need to know God in a little better way, or maybe you need to be born again, you've come to the right place. We've sung some beautiful songs that lead us into this time of prayer and worship. We worship the one true and living God. There's no other one. Amen? I believe it. And I believe that Jesus was sent as his son to die for my sins, that if I believe in him, I will not perish, but I will have eternal life. Amen? And that there's a life beyond this life that we can have hope that we will one day see him face to face in the kingdom of heaven because he lives. Hallelujah. The only one who's ever risen from the dead. No confusion. So you've come to the right place. We've gathered together to worship the Lord. And let's do that. There's some really needs that we need to pray about. And we're thankful that we are praying to the living God. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father on high, interceding even now. Praise God. Lord Jesus, as we come before you this morning, we're thankful that this truth just rings in our soul, resonates. And we're thankful that it's not confusing. There's proof you live and are living, and the Holy Spirit is with us this morning. We're thankful for your presence in this church where two or more are gathered together in your name. There you are, right in the midst. We have great needs. We bring them to you this morning. We've had those who've passed on into the kingdom of heaven, and we rejoice because of that. We think of Bob Bryant and his family. We pray for them. We pray for Christine Hummel and her family. We pray for the Glenn Ellington family. Grief, but great joy. And we thank you because you live. We can have this, and we're thankful we will see them again. Lord Jesus, this morning there was great needs. A prayer request was mentioned for Mason White, who's in the hospital from a football injury, and he needs your touch, he needs your healing right now. Father, would you just touch this young man and his family and help them, we pray. We pray for Cooper Fry and the injury that he got in the game this week. And we pray that healing would come to his body and help him. We do pray today for Linda Barnes and Patty and Paul Morgan, Carol and Jerry Strait. We think of them often. They're shut in, but Lord, we pray for them this morning that you'd encourage them in their home with your presence. Randy Brewer, Dave Hall, Lois Baker, we pray that you'd touch her and help her physically. She's struggling, Lord. We lift her up to you. We love her. We miss her with us. Touch her and help her. Floyd Westfall, we pray for Val Varsanasini, for Martha Hobart, Shelley and Faith Elder, Sean Wilhelm, Rowan Murphy, Karen Maxwell, Wesley Carpenter. We give you thanks for what you've done in Dorothy Booker's life, and we pray for continued healing. And we miss her. We long to see her back with us, Lord. We pray for others. We think of Pastor Greg being away from us and Sherry on vacation. We pray that would they would be able to come back to us safely. We're thankful he could get away, and pray that you just have him refreshed and encouraged by it. We do pray for Steve Brooks and Eladio Santiago, for Ken Earhart this morning. We lift them up to you. They want to be here, but they can't. Encourage them in their homes this morning. For Donna Oberly, help her this morning. Father, there's many others. And Lord Jesus, if you have a request, would you just lift your hand right now? Just lift your hand. Did you have something you wanted to lift up before the Lord? You see these hands, Lord. Encourage that one to know that you hear and you're answering and you're working on their behalf. We give you praise. We look forward to the message that these young men are bringing to us this morning. And we pray that we would be encouraged to live the life that our neighbors and our friends and people we work with would see Christ in us. And what we'd be able to come away from this and just share the love and the joy that Christ gives us. We give you praise. You alone are worthy. Father, we don't want to forget our nation, our country, our leaders. Wow. It's just pointing to the fact that you're coming again, and we believe it, Lord, and we want to be found doing your will and being discipling and encouraging others to follow you too. We pray for our missionary friends. We think of them often, Tim and Colleen. We pray that you'd help them and encourage them. Jesus, have your way in this service, and we give you praise for what you're about to do in us and through us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, East Canton, it is good to be back, like I said before. And once again, we are grateful for the opportunity to have a stage, a platform in a church on a Sunday morning. It's a responsibility and a privilege that we don't take lightly. And so we're grateful to be back. Not only have we been given the opportunity to play songs and lead in worship today through music, but also to give a message and to talk to you a little bit more, update you on the ministry that we've been doing over the past number of years. That's the trajectory of where we're going. We'll then close with a song, and there'll be a prayer of dismissal, and then we can all go to lunch, okay? So that's where we're going. So as we get those benchmarks, you'll know. So last time I was here, we were here, I had the opportunity to speak again. Last time I talked about how it is the calling of every believer to be an ambassador, to represent who Jesus is to the world. Like, that's our job. Not only that, but when God transforms us and makes us new creation, that's how we're able to be the best ambassadors, right? So that's kind of our first primary calling or job that God gives us as believers in the world. And so today we're going to talk about something different. And so I would have probably mentioned last time, this will be a review, but so that I'm not a random strange face up here, my name is Ryan. I'm originally from the state of Pennsylvania. I went to college to be a history teacher. And now I'm in a band, so God works in really mysterious ways. But when I was in college, I had an English class, and in that English class, we had to write some papers and so on. And it was, I submitted one paper, and my professor put a note on my test when she handed it back. She said, "You should be an English teacher." And I'm like, yeah, that's not really what I want to do. But if I had the opportunity to do another subject, English might have been one of them, because I really enjoy words. Like, generally speaking, I enjoy learning new words sometimes. And some, believe it or not, I have read the dictionary for fun on occasion, which maybe is an embarrassing admission. But I like using them. I like, you know, I like putting them together in really fun order, you know, so that it sounds really cool. And so anyway, I'm a words guy. And so today I want to just focus on some words for you real quick. And you're going to help me. I know school probably just started for you guys, right? Not too long ago. Yeah. So I'm sorry. We're going to do some more vocab. Okay. But so here's the thing. A word for being a person that likes words, just it's a linguaphile. People like, well, there's a big one. You can put that in your pocket and use it some other time. Words have power, right? When we use our words, the Bible says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. So the way we speak is important. And the words that we use and the way we use them is important, right? And sometimes we talk about words, and when we're talking with those words, we can sometimes get them wrong. Right? Like, because we just picked it up from how somebody else said it or whatever. Like, we picked it, I think that sounds right. So we just start using the word, right? And it can lead to having, like not meaning what you're actually saying. Let me give you an illustration, okay? So here's a word on the screen, peruse. I want you to think in your mind, what does this word mean, okay? And now I'm going to show you the real definition. Okay, to read through with thoroughness or care. Now, I'm not going to ask you to admit it, but for me, when I used to use this word, I thought this word meant to glance at, right? Like you see a bunch of magazines on a rack, and it's like, I perused the magazine. I just looked at all the titles, right? That's not, it means the opposite. It means that you read everything cover to cover, right? But I was using it wrong, right? Here's another one. Let's show this one. You know where this one's going, right? There's the word, literally, what's it actually mean? Actually, without exaggeration or inaccuracy, I've literally heard this word misused a million times, okay? So there's another one. One more up here. Let's try this one. Irregardless. Yeah? Here you go. Nope, not a word. It's not actually a word. It's actually a mashup of two words, irrespective and regardless. Often when we say the word irregardless, what we mean is just regardless. You don't need the extra two letters, doesn't it? But I'll tell you this, that word has been used wrong for so long that it is now in the dictionary. And it just says not standard, which basically means wrong. But, you know, you can use it if you want, okay? So I'm talking about words because we get them wrong, whether it's because we got them wrong from the context or it's been overused or we've used it incorrectly or whatever it is, there's a certain word. There are many, like, valuable theological terms in the Christian lingo community, okay? Believe it or not, as Christians, we have lingo, right? Words that if you didn't grow up in church, you don't belong to a church, like, you hear some of these words, you're like, what does that mean? Right? You have no idea, right? And so, when you step into church, you may start to learn, like, hear words used, and you're like, okay, it must mean this, it must mean that. There's a lot of different valuable theological words that we could dive into, but today I want to dive into just one, okay? And it's this word right here, worship. Um, this word, obviously, is used an awful lot in church. Let me just show you ways that I have personally heard it used, okay? Who will provide worship? Will you lead us in worship? I can't wait for worship. That was really good worship this morning. Worship wasn't that great this morning. List of service order in like a program, right? Like a bulletin or whatever that just say 20 to 25 minutes for worship. We have a whole genre of music called worship, right? Or praise and worship, right? The list could go on, different ways that I've heard this word used. Now, if I was one of those people that did not grow up in church and has never really used this word, right? Only heard it, you know, out and about occasionally, whatever. If I'm being fair, what would the definition of worship be if I was that person? If I came in, I just heard how it was used in the context that we just listed here, wherever else, what's the definition that we might come up with? It might be something like song time on Sunday, songs we sing to God, or the musical segment of a religious event, if you want to make it sound like the dictionary, right? And here's the problem. If that is the definition, then I think we have fundamentally misunderstood the whole thing. What it means to truly worship God. And not only that, but I think the misunderstanding is both dangerous and detrimental to our lives as believers, and it's unfair to the world around us. It's a bold statement, but I'll break it down for you, okay? So let's talk about this. When I think about using worship in a poor way, when we use that word in a poor way, when we treat it in a poor way, I think two different dangers come to my mind, okay? So one of those dangers is that we would fall into a trap of elevating music and production and style to the point of idolizing it. And then we miss the object of the worship in the first place, right? If worship is anything, is close to any of the ways we just described it before, whether explicitly or implicitly, maybe even by accident, right? We might have a tendency to overemphasize the importance of it and fall prey to the extremes of what some people have called worshiptainment, like the worship as entertainment trap. You know, like if we don't have the top-notch singers, if we don't have the best sound system, if we don't have the right technology, if we don't have the power ballad songs, then we either can't worship or at best it's just, you know, subpar worship. And the irony of that is even if all of those things were executed to the best of our ability, it could actually still be a time completely devoid of real worship. I think Jesus was pretty harsh on this when in Matthew he said, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human words." So a little kid just singing "Jesus loves me," right, playing in a sandbox, might be demonstrating more authentic worship than the most high-tech, slickly produced concert of worship imaginable. Right? There was a pastor in England who realized this a number of years ago. As he was observing his congregation, he realized that people were starting to really just kind of come to see what would happen. Like, just see how good. I mean, they had a very talented music team. You know, the worship music director was very, very talented. But people were starting to come just for that. Like, just to see, like, oh, what songs are they going to do? How good is it going to be? What's the lights? You know, what are the lights? All that kind of stuff. And he, to his credit, realized, like, this is not good. And so he made a decision that was something that would get some pastors fired, I would think, because he basically came out one Sunday. He talked it over with this music director. He came out one Sunday, and he said, "Hey, here's the deal. You guys are missing the point. You're missing what it means to actually worship God. You're coming here just for the wrong reasons. And so, until we figure this out as a congregation, were shutting it down. And they shut down, they turned off the lights, and they took the music instruments off the stage, they just stopped. And it was indefinitely. It was not like, just for today, just to teach you a lesson. No, it was like, we're waiting, week after week. What are we gonna do? And when you're used to, say, 25, 30, 40 minutes of music before the sermon, and then you don't have it, that gets to be a pretty awkward time of silence, if you will. But his point was, what are you bringing into the service? What are you bringing to contribute to worship rather than just consuming what's happening here? And so what ended up happening was, as the weeks went on, and that time just was initially a little bit awkward, it started that the people in the congregation, somebody out there might just start praying out loud. Somebody else would join in with that, and somebody would start singing a song in the back, and everybody would start singing that song with them. And they started contributing as a congregation to come together and not just consume what was being there, but actually bring something to the table, actually offer something to God as they came into a service. And so eventually the pastor said, let's bring it all back. We can have the music, because it's not bad. We can bring it back right now because we actually have a better understanding of what this should mean. Out of that experience, his worship director, his music director, went home and wrote a song. And the song that he wrote was called The Heart of Worship. And it's a song that traveled around the world a number of years ago, becoming one of the biggest songs in, ironically enough, praise and worship genre. And it was all started when they had literally taken everything away. Some of the lyrics of that song are, when the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, Jesus. So, just to be clear, I am not saying that music is bad, okay? I love music, right? It is my job, okay? I'm not saying it's bad. It's great for artistic expression. It's great to express our hearts through worship. You could do a whole sermon or more just talking about the power and the gift and the importance of music and excellence and using space and lighting to create an atmosphere where people can encounter God in a fresh way. That's all good. And there are many passages of scripture that affirm the use of music and show examples. And there's a wonderful God-given space for that in our lives, to be expressions of worship. And that's the point, that music is an expression. It is not worship in and of itself. It's a means, not an ends, right? So, first danger, we get into the trap of elevating it, right, to the point that it becomes an idol, right? Second danger is this, that we so narrowly define it and box it in that we miss out on all the opportunities we have to worship the God that we actually serve, right? We shouldn't box ourselves into this stiflingly narrow view. It's a constricting view of what it looks like to worship the infinite God of all creativity, right? Like, here's the thing. Here's a confession, full disclosure. As a musician, somebody who, this is my job, if that's all that worship is, I'm bored. Plus, I can't sing all the time. Or what happens when somebody, it doesn't happen to be melodically or rhythmically gifted, right? Are they out of luck? Hey, sorry, you can't worship as well as everybody else. That's not true. But you could fall into that trap, to that problem of like, this is what worship is, so hey, whatever, I'm joining, but I don't know, you know? Like, when the music stops, does worship stop? No, I sure hope not, right? So, I could just leave you with that. Hey, here's the bad news, get it right, fix it, right? That's not what I'm gonna do. It's more constructive to have somewhere to go with this, right? Like, let's not do that, but what do we do with it, right? So, So maybe we need to come up with a better or a better understood definition of worship, right? And so what I want to do is I'm going to take us to the first place in the Bible where the word worship is used, okay? Some people talk about when you study scripture, when you're interpreting scripture, there's this idea of like the law of first mention, which basically says that the first time it's used kind of sets the precedent for how, now it might nuance and so on, but it sets the precedent, kind of sets the table for how it will be used later. So let's look at the first time, see what happens here, right? To get to the first time the word worship is used, you got to rewind the whole way back to the beginning of the Bible, almost. We're going to go to Genesis 22, okay? It's about halfway through the first book of the Bible. It's a story. If you grew up in church, you've heard this story. If you haven't grown up in church, we'll get there, okay? But it's the story of Abraham and Isaac. So here we go. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Now, if you grew up in church or you've been to Sunday school and you've heard this story, it's like, oh, yeah, it's the story of Abraham and Isaac. He's all those things. If you didn't grow up in church, it's a really hard story. It's really difficult. And it sounds pretty bad. But a couple of things, if you are not familiar with this, just a couple of things that help me process this so that it's just, I would say, make it a little more palatable, or a couple of things. One is that in this time period, unfortunately, child sacrifice was real. Other cultures were doing this. So for Abraham to hear this is not totally off the wall that, like, oh, God, they sacrificed to the gods. Like, this is a thing. Additionally, he's not a stranger. It's not out of left field for somebody like Abraham. It's also stated as a test, right? This is a test. I want to find out if you believe in me the way these other cultures, but like to the degree that they believe in, they're willing to go that far. Are you willing to go that far for me? And then the third thing that's really helpful for me is that God doesn't actually make them do it. Right? So if you get out of this message that God's asking you to do something like that, it's not true. Okay? So don't misunderstand this. All right? So, moving forward. Early the next morning. So, just like that. Abraham's ready to do this. Abraham got up, loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Abraham, father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "Fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. Just to summarize the rest of the story, Abraham takes Isaac up on the mountain. They build the altar. He places Isaac on the altar, and Abraham is fully ready to go through with this sacrifice, to obey what God told him to do. And we're told later in Scripture that Abraham believed, even if I do this, God can bring him back from the dead. But he was ready to follow through. God stops him. An angel of the Lord stops him and says, "You've passed the test. I'll bring you the offering. It's a ram that's caught in a bush." Abraham is able to sacrifice that ram instead of his son. He gets to walk back down the mountain, having passed the test and being with his son, right? And so it is an incredible story with a lot more to it than what we're going to talk about today. But this is the first time the word worship is used. What is conspicuously missing from this passage? Music. I don't see it there. So at the very least, that would indicate that music is more than that, right? Now, it is more than that, right? But what it requires, like this context brings together a couple of things that worship does require, or that could be part of the definition. So the first thing that we need to understand about what worship is that it requires a proper relationship to God, okay? Often throughout the Bible, the word worship, if you take its literal meaning, means to kiss toward or to bow down, right? It's really bring about the imagery of a subject to a king, okay? So realizing our place before God is where it's got to start, right? One of the things that I love most about God is that he doesn't want the relationship to just start to just stop there, right? Like he invites us to something more. And eventually, he even flips the script on Abraham and, by extension, the entire human race, where he, in his love, is the one that provides a sacrifice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that he gave to us. that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, right? God invites us to a better, more fulfilling, more dynamic relationship with him, one where our inadequacies, our mistakes, our sin, they don't have to win. Where our weakness and rebellion, our disdain for God, that didn't stop him from coming to us to make a way for us to be restored to relationship with him so that we can be more than just king to subject. We can be friends. We can be children. We get to have that relationship with God. And that brings us to the next thing that this indicates. This passage kind of shows us what is required. Is worship is our proper response to who God is and what he's done, right? It's a response showing God how much he's worth to us. For Abraham, do you trust me as much as these other cultures? Am I worth that much to you, right? And it's the sacrifice that God made for us, his love for us, his giving of his son for us, that gesture, right? That our king asks us to respond to, right? So this idea of worship may be better understood as worth-ship. Worth-ship, how much is that worth to you? So maybe we could start by letting our definition, right? Like by defining worship as this. Letting our attitudes and actions reflect our proper relationship and response to God. Letting our attitudes and actions reflect our proper relationship and response to God. Now, this can include music, right? This definition is broad on purpose, right? It includes music. Like, yes, that's a way we do that. But it's way, way, way bigger than that. I mean, scripturally, as we go through the Bible, we see some of these commands. Jesus says that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Last I checked, that's pretty much every area of life. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. And then I think this one, honestly, is the clincher. This one, to me, just says it all. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, so who he is and what he's done, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So Matt Redman, the worship leader who wrote The Heart of Worship, that song, he also said this in one of the books that he wrote. He said, singing is easy. The proof is always in the living. So there is way more that can be said about this topic of worship. Right? Not an exhaustive treatment even of this passage, let alone this topic. We don't have time for that. So I'm going to close with a story, and then we're going to move forward and tell you about the ministry we're doing. But it goes back a number of years. I was invited to a friend's wedding. And it was going to be, well, for me, it was a destination wedding. That's not quite true. They were getting married in Tennessee. I'm from Pennsylvania. I had to take a road trip. I went with a couple of friends. We drove through the night. We arrived in Tennessee for this wedding. After getting to go to bed for a little while, we got back up, and prep was in full swing. Like, there, I mean, everything's getting set up. It was an outdoor wedding, so they had to set up all the chairs and all these things, you know. And so we all just jumped in and started helping to get ready for the wedding. The groom was there. Everybody's goofing off. We're laughing. We're getting caught up because it's been a while since we've been hanging out. Just having a really good time. And as we got going with the prep and the conversation, it eventually turned to the music that was going to be in the wedding that day. I was going to be singing like during the reception. Some of the bride's family, they were going to sing. A lot of people were doing some music in this wedding because it was a musical group. And then the groom, just kind of goofing off, yelled over to a friend who was not standing right there. Our friend was actually working on finishing the gazebo, right? Like, because it wasn't done yet, like, and they had to get it done right. He was building a step to get up to the platform, right? So that this could be, you know, so the bride doesn't trip on her way up, right? So he wanted it to be beautiful. So he's building a step. He was a carpenter. He was the right guy for that job.
But as we're talking, the groom yells over to that guy. His name's Talon. He's like, "Hey, Talon, what song? You know, what are you playing? What are you singing in the wedding?" And everybody laughed because they knew he wasn't singing. Right? It was just kind of a joke. But Talon was actually real quick. He got up and he looks back. He's like, "Hey, see that step right there? That's my song." And I think he was onto something, right? Because I mean, what if we actually changed our mentality of how this world worships you? What if it would change the way we do things? I mean, could it? Like just realizing that worship is more than music? Would it give value even to the mundane? I mean, I think that if we could change the way we view worship and have a better understanding, better working out of it, I think that it would actually change how the world sees Jesus. And I know that's kind of a bold statement, but I believe that if we genuinely seek God's glory and pleasure in everything we do as an act of worship to him, then maybe a stay-at-home mom could look at the mess in her house and her lavishly loved kids and say to our Creator, "That's my song." Or maybe an athlete can look at a game well played, whether it's a win or a loss, and say, "That's my song." A high-paid business owner, right, can point to a company built with honesty and integrity and humbly confess, "God, that's my song." A musician, a sound guy, a lighting tech, a greeter, a soup kitchen volunteer, adoptive parents, students, teachers, artists, actors, cashiers, politicians, writers, custodians, white-collar workers, blue-collar workers, a good friend, a good listener, all of these people can look up and say with gratitude, "God, that's my song." And if that's how we were living it out, people are going to start to ask, "What are you doing?" "I'm just worshiping my God. Can I tell you about it? I tell you that's why I do this job so well? Can I tell you that's why I'm striving in these ways? Because I'm serving him with all of these things." All of these songs that I've just talked about can be sung with or without music. And God loves all of them. And so the question is, what song are you going to sing? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for inviting us into relationship with you that is so much more than just a king to a subject or a creator to creation, but that you invite us to be your friends and your family. God, I pray that you would move in and through us to lead us to worship you in every area of our lives. And I pray that you would smile on the rest of our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to tell you about some of the ministry that we do. For some of you, this will be a review, but if you're new here, like I said, Attaboy is a band. We've been touring for about 20 years. Yeah, I know, we started when we were 8. I'm going to tell you more about Attaboy, but first, on the screen here, you're going to see a picture of all of our families. So that's me, my wife Sarah, and our daughter Isabella, who just turned 3 years old a couple of weeks ago.
Hey, my name is Christian. Next to me in the photo is my wife, Melanie, and our 3-year-old daughter, Ruthie. Melanie wasn't with us last time we were here. She's actually a member of Attaboy as well. But Ruthie was all of like 3 months old then, so she was taking a break from the road. She's not with us today because we're expecting our second kid in October. So we're excited about that.
And my name is Jeff. My family occupies the entire front row there. So my wife, Molly, on the left, your left, yep. And then we have 5 kids that range from 7th grade to 2 years old and seemingly every possible combination in between.
Yeah, so like I said, Attaboy has been a band for over 20 years, and the first 9 years of that we spent doing what we call kind of in-house ministry, church concerts, youth concerts, retreats, camps, and so on. And all of that is and was valuable ministry. But about 11 years ago, what we realized is that we were doing some of the church outreach concerts, where the intent was to, hey, let's bring in the neighborhood or whatever, all the kids, let's do a concert, outreach concert. What was happening is we would do the concert in the church, and there weren't really that many kids coming from other places other than the church. So it's like, well, if they're not coming here, how are we going to reach them? Like, if they're not coming here, how are they going to hear the gospel? I don't know if you knew this or not, but 8 out of 10 students do not go to church. But 9 out of 10 do go to public schools. And so as we started realizing these things, we decided to totally shift the mission and the focus of what we did as a band. And so the question is, what do? Well, we share the gospel with students in public schools. Now, how do we do that? All right, that's a good question. What it is, we've got a twofold plan. We created a one-hour school assembly program that fits in the category of character-based education, right? And we book that in schools. And we do that performance for the schools. We talk about respect. We talk about perseverance. We talk about mental health. And all of it we could back up with scripture, but we don't use that lingo because we're allowed to be in the public school talking about these issues. But we use that as a foot in the door to then book an evening concert, often at the school. And because it's after school hours and because it is an optional event, we are free to share the gospel. So we are in the school, but we're free to share the gospel because it's after hours. And so this is our way of trying to reach out to that 9 out of 10 students who don't go to church, but they definitely go to the school we're in. And so we work with that. So when we do the assembly, we do the concert, then we try to connect students to the local church with free resources and inviting local churches to be a part of the event that we're doing so that we can introduce students to youth pastors and other church leaders with the hope that they will then pursue their faith after they've heard the gospel and have a chance to put their trust in Jesus.
We see the impact of the ministry in so many really exciting ways. One of those is when we receive messages through social media or email from people in the communities we've played in. So youth pastor wrote us after a show, said, I love what you guys are doing. We had a student respond to the card we handed out last night at the concert, and he made it to youth group. So we're really excited to see, like Ryan was saying, students getting plugged into local church communities even after we're long gone. And then a student wrote us after a concert once and just said, I just want you guys to know that you helped turn my life around. I used to not live the way I should, but after hearing Ryan's story last night, it made me realize I need to live for Christ after everything he's done for me. And we also wanted to share a photo from a school concert. This was from a school in Boonville, Missouri. And what we love about this photo is not only does it represent the thousands and thousands of unchurched students that we're able to be in front of all across the country, but it represents unchurched students here in your own community. We've actually been able to do our ministry in some Canton area schools. And we just love, like Ryan was saying again, that this photo represents students who may never willingly step foot into a church, but because we're able to go into an environment they're comfortable in, we're able to connect with them there and ultimately share the gospel with them.
And so without question, there is no way that we could do what we do without the support of people like you. And we know there are people right here in this congregation that are already partnering with our ministry. But if you're new to Attaboy, we wanted to just tell you about two ways you can partner with our ministry and the schools if you're interested. So the first is quite simply through prayer. So as you can imagine, there's a whole ongoing list of prayer needs that we have, whether it's logistical stuff like putting the events on the calendar and even just not breaking down on the way to the event, as well as just the ministry opportunities that come when we're in the schools. If you'd be interested in receiving updates on how to pray for us, I will explain how you can get those in just a minute here. And then the second way that you can partner with our ministry is financially, because it's truly a consistent financial support team that enables us to do what we do in the schools. And so because of that, we've put together a goal for this year. We're looking for 200 families or individuals that would partner with our ministry through a monthly donation of $25. And so we've made some good progress toward that goal, but we still have some work to do toward it as well. And so because of that, it's an honor for us to not just share some music and a message with you today, but to ask you to prayerfully consider joining that consistent financial support team. And so in just a minute, I'll tell you a little bit more about that if you're interested in signing up for that. But before we do anything else, we actually wanted to not just tell you about what we do in the schools, but show you a video that gives you kind of a behind-the-scenes look, what it's like when we go into the schools. So as we play that video, we have some volunteers who are going to pass out just a little partnership card. Just grab one per family or individual. Even if you're not going to do it, you don't want to make us cry. It'd be awkward. And then after the video, I'll explain exactly what to do with that card, and we'll get you off to lunch. All right, let's hit that video.
What makes this ministry so awesome is the fact that they come into the schools to their actual place where they are 8 hours plus a day, and they're bringing the message of Christ to them.
Assembly was that they got the crowd involved. They were ready to go. What's next? Just engaged and enthused on the edge of their seat.
It was a great assembly. I thought the band really connected with the kids right away. The message the band comes across with, it's stuff that our kids need to hear, and they need to hear it from young people, and they need to hear real life experiences like what he shared with the kids today.
I thought the assembly was really great. It was really good to look around and see everyone enjoying the music.
The format that they provide of having assembly earlier in the day is just a genius idea because it gets them drawn in. And then later on that evening when they have the concert, it brings these students back. In terms of technology and in terms of media, with lighting, with sound, it's top-notch. Definitely appealing to a generation that's full of technology. If a student comes, they're going to hear the message of Christ plain and clear. It's not a roundabout message. It's not just scratching the surface. It's the real deal.
We've all broken God's law. Because of his love, God sent his son Jesus to die in our place.
I thought it was fantastic.
I thought it was great.
I liked it a lot.
Thumbs up.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Very insightful.
It was really fun.
It was awesome.
When they go to a school, they are truly presenting the message of Christ, and these kids are hearing it, and many kids are saying yes, that they want Christ as their Savior and Lord.
We have churches here represented. If you're willing to learn more, get connected to a church.
If you want an opportunity for your teenagers to be changed, to have a place where they can bring their friends who don't know Christ, to a place where they will hear about Christ, this is the way to do it.
All right, so let me take you through this card real quickly. You can see at the top there are two different boxes. The first one says, I would like to receive ministry updates from Attaboy. So like I mentioned earlier, we would love to have you be praying for us. And just to give you an idea how it works, every month we put together an email update that gives an overview of what we've been up to in the schools that previous month, as well as specific ways that you can be praying for us. In addition to that, in that email, there's a link where if you're interested and do Facebook, we have a Facebook group where we give more kind of real-time, bite-sized updates on ways that you can be praying for us. So if you're interested in getting that email, just check that top box, and then underneath there, make sure you just make sure you put your email address on the proper line there. And then we have a table just straight out the back doors there, and you can just drop that off, and we'll get you all set up. And then the second box says, sign me up to join the financial support team. So that's if you're interested in doing the monthly donation, you'd want to check that box. Underneath there, there are smaller boxes to indicate the dollar amount and then just basic contact information so we can get you all set up with that. Most people do that through an automated check or a credit card transaction. Just talk to us at the table and we'll figure out what makes sense the most for you. Same thing, drop that off at the table. And just a side note about the table, you'll notice there are some CDs of our own original music back there. There are magnets that you can slap on your fridge as a little reminder to pray for us. All that stuff is free. Feel free to grab or check out any of that stuff as just a really small way to say thanks for partnering with us. Also, we understand that some people would prefer to do a one-time gift instead of a monthly donation, and that is amazing as well. You can do that at the table as well. And lastly, we just want to say we're honored to be here today, and we'd love to meet you if we haven't already. And we understand that most people here don't have just a way to go into public schools and share the gospel with students. But that's why through a partnership with Attaboy and our school ministry, you truly can play a key role in taking the gospel to America's public schools.
So we want to thank you again for having us today. Once again, it is a privilege to be able to be on a platform in a church. Jenny, thanks for taking care of us so well. Everyone who's been a part of making this morning happen, even our teen volunteers who are making it possible. It's been really good to be with y'all. We're going to close with a song that we get to sing right after we've shared the gospel with students in public schools. It's one that we've written. It's about the idea that we all are in need of forgiveness. And we also all often need to extend forgiveness. That starts with God, but it also extends to the people around us. That's what this song's about. Here's how the chorus goes. Just like a clear sky, outlasts a raging storm. Just like the break of day after a long night. Just like surrender can heal an endless war. I'm giving up the fight. Never thought these chains would break. Never thought these wounds would fade. Never thought it feels so right to give up the fight. These wounds would fade. Never thought it feels so right. Give it up the fight. Give it up the fight. So we trust in Jesus. He gives us a new heart. And that's what changes everything. When there are storms in your life, Jesus offers you peace. When you're broken and hurting, he offers you comfort and healing. When there's fear in your life, Jesus offers you truth and love. When you've messed up, he offers you forgiveness. And when you struggle to forgive that person that's hurt you so badly, he gives you the strength to let it go because he's already forgiven you. And he gives you the promise that in the end, justice will be done. And it's this hope, this love, this power, this good news, this Jesus that has totally changed our lives. And it's a life that God offers every person here today. Let me know where God and all the world is born.
God, we serve a big God who loves every person in this room. And it's that God that invites us to forgiveness and relationship with you. Just like the clear sky, at last a raging storm. Just like the break of day, after a long night. Just like surrender, can you hear the endless roar? Oh, 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 I'm giving up the fight. Even though these chains will break, even though these wounds will fade, even though it feels so right, giving up the fight, giving up the fight. Even though these chains will break, even though these wounds will fade, even though it feels so right, giving up the fight, giving up the fight. Giving up the fight. Never thought these chains would break. Never thought these wounds would fade. Never thought it feels so right. Giving up the fight. Giving up the fight.
All right, if you just want to have a seat for just a quick second as we close our service this morning. Just a few things. You know, we are God's ambassador, right? And so what song are we going to sing? What are we going to sing for him? And I don't think it is any type of coincidence, but it is God working and moving through our congregation. Just last week, was it last week? August 11th, we handed out backpacks and invited the community in. And from that, just last week, we had names of children who received those backpacks, so it wasn't just a backpack, but we could pray over those names. That is a song that we sing. So if you took one of those names, sing that song. If you didn't take a name and you would like one, we have some still. So we are praying over those names. They haven't got lost in the shuffle, but there's more we can pray for together. So see me or Gina, just let us know, send a text, but that's a song we can sing. Not only that, we can be praying. So my relationship with Attaboy is what I have witnessed through them. They have been to so many youth events. They've been to winter retreats. They've been to OSYC. They've been to 3SLI. We have seen them over and over. Many of our students have a relationship with them just because of where they've been. But I personally got to see them in action probably more than a couple years ago. When the girls were in high school, they were at Sandy Valley. And they saw the motivational. I didn't see the in-school assembly. But we went as a family to the concert afterwards. It was one of the churches in Magnolia. And they are bold for Christ. You cannot miss it. They are bold for Christ. So how can we come alongside them on their journey? And how can we be bold for Christ in our walk as ambassadors, singing our songs? And so we should be praying over our schools and over our youth and our young adults and our colleges. We should be praying for those doors to open for Attaboy. How cool would it be if you guys went to your principals? Look how many school systems we represent. And if you went to your principals and said, hey, we have this great motivational group that comes in, can you bring them in? And just see where God takes that. You know. So how can we do this? So as we close and we look at the songs we're singing, let us sing to the glory of God. If you'll join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for who you are. And we just pray that you will put on our hearts the songs you have for us to sing, that you will strengthen us and make us bold in being your ambassador. We pray over our students, our schools. We pray over Attaboy. Just flourish their ministry and continue to give them the strength and energy to sing and dance They brought joy in the house of the Lord today with their energy that you have given them. And we just pray that you'll continue that work in their families and in their lives to go into the schools and bless these students. Help the students to hear these messages and just open and part the way for them. And we just pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, let's sing our songs. Go in His peace.
Thank you. taking no way.